Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, everybody, for joining me here for Wright's Way here on Blog Talk Sports. I'm the co-host here, Malik Wright. And you know, I don't know. You know, it doesn't feel like, you know, December, shall I say? You know, I'm so used to, you know, the colder weather, and you know, to say the least. You know, I guess we're being blessed for it to be this warm. But anyway, like I said, I'm Malik Wright here for Bat Sports Page, and you know, my co-host, unfortunately, isn't able to be on just a second, Austin Mayo. You know, this show is basically supposed to be covering life around the NFL, all the news, everything that's going on. So I guess we can get started right away. And, you know, I want to get started with, you know, it seems like this week we got a lot of intriguing matches in the NFL coming up. You know, we have the Patriots versus Jets, which we have the Patriots trying to clinch the number one seed, while we have the Jets, you know, trying to fight their way to the sixth seed in the playoffs. Obviously, they have to win out at this point. And we also have Green Bay versus Arizona, which should be a very, very intriguing game. And to me, in my opinion, the biggest game of the year, if not of the in the last past 2 years for the Bengals. It's the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Denver Broncos to determine the number two seed. While the number one seed is still in play as well, but you know, right now these two teams are kind of gutting it out for the number one seed. So that should be a very intriguing matchup as well. And you know, just to get started a little bit, you know, I'm gonna touch a bit on you know, each game. I'm going with the unpopular decision here. I'm going to go with the New York Jets beating the Patriots. And the reason being is because, and I don't know if too many people remember, but the Jets played the New England Patriots fairly hard the first game of the season. I mean, it was very close. And, you know, the whole thing about it was in Foxborough. And I think the Jets opened up a lot of people's eyes during that game, and not only this season. You know, I can honestly say Ryan Fitzpatrick is impressing me. I mean, the guy he's getting the job done all across the board, no matter which way you look at it. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been catapulted the New York Jets football offense to, you know, different heights. And just to see how this offense is flourishing under Ryan Fitzpatrick is amazing. You know, the guy, you know, from a guy whose career was basically written off, you know, nobody saw him as someone that can lead a team to the playoffs. And I can honestly say he's shocking a lot of people, including myself. He's been everything that the Jets have been missing in a quarterback. To read you off some of the stats this year, he has a 60% completion rate this season. He has 3,428 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Now, a lot of people will look at it like, oh, well, those numbers aren't that impressive. But for Jets, from where they've come from the quarterbacks they've had, from Geno Smith to, you know, you guys know, Mark Sanchez, you know, it's definitely a step up. And what Ryan Fitzpatrick has done, you know, the beard and all has done, is he has created a sense of stability amongst the quarterback position for the New York Jets. That's why I'm picking them to beat the New England Patriots, because at the end of the day, folks, this is a rivalry. I mean, everyone wants to say the New York Jets is, the New York Jets are, you know, always going to be second to the Patriots, but I beg to differ. You know, when I saw in Foxborough, I saw a very ferocious Jets team who looked like they wanted to get after it. And they were coming at Tom Brady. They were basically pressing his foot on the gas. And, you know, that's what I saw from That's what I saw from the New York Jets. And, you know, when I look at it, when I look at it across the board, I look at the Jets and I say, you know, I've always said if this team had a quarterback, what they can do is they can run the table in that division, in my opinion. Now, you know, a lot of people may disagree with me. Some people may say, oh, you know, that's debatable, but is it really? I mean, we look at it and I don't think that there's anyone playing better football in that division besides Tom Brady than Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. The New York Jets are reaching their potential. However, I think they can be better. I honestly think they can be better. I'm not going to bore you guys with that. I'm just going to say that, you know, they're my pick. I think that they're going to shock a lot of people and beat the New England Patriots, but that remains to be seen yet. The second game on tap is we have the Green Bay Packers facing the Arizona Cardinals. That is a very, very intriguing game because everyone knows the number one seed was locked up by the Carolina Panthers, you know, them going on to have a 14-win season. But this number two seed is very, very, very important. And you see, if Green Bay can beat Arizona this week and they go on to win their next game, which I believe is against the Minnesota Vikings, that will catapult the Green Bay Packers to the number one seed. So this game is pretty, pretty important for the Green Bay Packers. And me personally, I think that I'm going to go with the Cardinals, as much as it pains me to go with the Arizona Cardinals, because all you got, for those of you who don't know, I am a huge, huge Cincinnati Bengals fan. I can't overstate it enough. I dislike Carson Palmer, but the team he has around him, I don't see the Green Bay Packers being able to contend with them. Now, a lot of people have said to me, oh, well, they just lost Tyrann Mathieu this season. I mean, or, you know, this week for the season to an ACL. And, you know, we wish you a speedy recovery here at Backsports Page, Tyrann Mathieu as well. But, you know, I don't think that is going to deter the Cardinals' season. I don't see the Cardinals being able to compete with the Panthers, but I do think that I see the Cardinals and the Panthers as my two top favorites to come out of the NFC division. Now, when I look at Green Bay Packers, it's what I said. It's just like I said in my last show, you know, my first show I ever did. I said the Green Bay Packers are going to struggle mightily because of the loss of Jordy Nelson. And that has come to the forefront this season, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Randall Cobb's numbers has been down drastically. Just looking at it across the board, I don't think Green Bay has that good of a defense. I think their defense is overrated. I think Aaron Rodgers is slightly overrated. Don't get me wrong, he's a very good quarterback. I just think he's slightly overrated. I don't agree with the notion that he's the best quarterback. And I don't agree with the fact that he's on the same level as Tom Brady. His receivers aren't help giving him any help. They aren't creating separation. They aren't being the type of receiver they need him to be. I told everybody this, and everyone called me crazy. Randall Cobb's numbers were only the way they were, you know, the last few seasons because of Jordy Nelson. When you have a guy like Jordy Nelson who can stretch the field, then it opens up for everybody. It opens up, it opens up the field to play for everybody. So I'm not surprised to see Davante Adams struggling. I'm not surprised to see Randall Cobb struggling this year. These are things that I said was going to happen. Now now the Packers' offense is forced to depend on Eddie Lacy to run the ball, and we all know Eddie Lacy is not the feature back that the Green Bay Packers expected him to be. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to bore you with that either. I think that the Green Bay Packers are asking him, and by him I mean Aaron Rodgers, to do too much. And we are not talking about a Tom Brady here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a quarterback who is very good, but just not on the level as Tom Brady. And when people do argue that with me, here's what I say to them. I say, so you mean to tell me you will say Aaron Rodgers has to do with the success is a you know know, has to do with, I guess, the growth in his receivers. Do you think that he played a major part in the growth of, his receivers? I don't think so. I think Aaron Rodgers is just a good quarterback. He had a very good receiver in Jordy Nelson, and Randall Cobb was a very good slot receiver. Notice I said slot receiver. He's a very good slot receiver, and that's why the Packers' offense was putting up the numbers that they did put up. But anyway, next, I'm going to go to, the third biggest game. I mean, personally, it's in my eyes, because I'm a Bengals fan, obviously, it's the biggest game of the year, and I think this is the game where the Bengals take the next leap. It's the Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Bengals. I actually got, a Bengals fan actually calling in here, so, we're going to take some questions from him and see what he thinks. Hello? Hello, how we doing?
Blake, what's going on, my man?
How we doing, Matt? How's it going?
I'm doing good. I'm just hanging out, it's Christmas,
yeah.
So.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was just talking about, the Cincinnati Bengals. Before I gave my prediction, I wanted to I wanted you to give your 2 cents about. First, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this game coming up against Denver?
I think we have a good chance. It'd be nice to get a win on Monday night, a bye week, and also the division title. The most important thing is getting that bye week, but also it'd be nice to get that division title. But I kind of want to talk about Marvin Lewis.
Okay. All right. Wright's Way here at Wright's Way, we're open to any topic of discussion. We don't have to always stay the course. I'm here to answer any of you guys' questions, regarding your team or whatever questions you may have. If you want me to touch on the topic, that's what I'm here for. So have at it, buddy. What you got for me?
Listen, Marvin Lewis has been coaching this team for about 13 seasons, right?
Correct.
Okay. And he's never won a playoff game. And I feel like that he's going to win that playoff game this season because this is probably the best Bengals team I have ever seen. I've been a Bengals fan since John Kitna's quarterback. Okay?
Wow.
And
we're going back now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going back. And I see this team going to the Super Bowl, and I feel like, it's now or never for Marvin Lewis. Like if he doesn't get it done this year, I think maybe Mike Brown should consider maybe putting like you told me, man. Maybe he should just be like a general manager. Maybe have Hugh Jackson coach the team. I don't know. But if Marvin Lewis does get it done, this team can go all the way. Who knows? But it's now or never. And it's long overdue, and I think the Bengals should get it done this season. But I just, I think, the players that we have, the staff and everything, I think we should get it done. And I just want to hear what do you think? What do you think is going to happen after this Denver game? What is your opinion, Malik?
Well, Matt, I first want to thank you for calling in, for being a participant on the Wright's Way. It means a great deal. I think that I agree with the notion that it's a huge game, not only for Andy Dalton. Everyone knows his playoff woes. Not only for Marvin Lewis, but for Cincinnati as a city, a huge game. This is a season that can change. This is a season that can change, the course of a franchise. This is a season that can change the course of a franchise for years to come, years, years, and years to come. Now, when I look at it across the board, I think Marvin Lewis doesn't get a lot of credit. Now, a lot of people may say to me, "What do you mean?" Marvin Lewis has taken a team that was the laughing stock of the NFL and turned it into, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, we know the Bengals are going to make the playoffs this year. It's now just a given that the Bengals are going to go to the playoffs. You know, whereas before it was, oh, they'll be lucky if they get 6 wins. Now this team has went from being the laughingstock in the NFL to being a true contender. Now, I think with everything, you have to learn how to lose before you can win. You also have to learn how to, you have to grow, basically. You have to grow with, you have to grow with an organization. You know, there are going to be hard times. And one thing I love that the Bengals did is for 13 seasons, Mike Brown had people in his ear, saying, let him go. You know, he's not good. He can't get the job done. And Mike Brown saw something in Marvin Lewis. At one point, I was even like, oh, my God, why is this guy holding on still? Why is he still here? Like, I didn't understand it for the life of me. And, you know, I've been a Bengals fan for as long as I can remember, but, you know, the Bengals, just to give you guys a little insight, the Bengals, Marvin Lewis has been the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals since I was in second grade. That's saying a lot. And no playoff wins, you know, I'm now junior in college, and no playoff wins to show for it. No playoff wins to show for it. But I had to look past that. I had to look at the fact that he changed his organization. He, you know, just to read you off, when he first started in Cincinnati in 2003, 8-8 season. 2004, 8-8 season. 2005, 11-5 season. 2006, 8-8. 2007, 7-9. And, you know, these are the struggles that, you know, the Bengals as an organization have had. And I think Marvin Lewis doesn't get a lot of credit. However, but I do think that this is the Bengals' year. I think this is their best shot at getting it done. And I can agree with you more. I can agree more with you. I think this is the year to get it done. And I'm afraid to say it, but there's gonna be a lot of questions coming into play. You know, when if he doesn't get it done, as upsetting as it may make me as a Bengals fan. It may be like, you know, some jobs might be on the line, but, you know, that remains to be seen. Any other questions, Matt? You know, any predictions you want to get?
Yeah.
Anything?
Well, I don't know. I think, I mean, it's been 13 seasons with Marvin Lewis, and I think, you know, it's now, like I said, now or never.
Absolutely.
Maybe, I mean, we're going to Denver on Monday night. We have AJ McCarron playing quarterback. Eifert is on concussion protocol still. If he's healthy, I think we have a good chance of, I mean, even if Eifert doesn't play, I think we have a good chance of beating this guy. I mean, Denver. But, I mean, if Tyler Croft steps up, man, I think we could, we can win this game. And
yes.
We have Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and, you know, maybe Brandon Tate could step it up a bit. You know, who knows, man, but I think we have a good chance.
I'll put it to you this way. It's times like this where you got to step up as a football team.
Yeah.
This is times like this we have to step up as a football team. And I don't want to bore people with the Bengals because I know not a lot of people are Bengals fans. But you know, like I said, this is times where you step up as a football team. And I'm looking forward to see what they're made up in Denver on Monday night.
You know, Malik, I feel like it's always been the Ravens and Steelers in this division. I feel like if even if we win a playoff game and we lose and like maybe the AFC Championship game, like I feel like the Bengals could be like a competitive team in the playoffs, like the Ravens were and like the Steelers were. I mean, Steelers are always good, but like I feel like the Bengals could be part of that too, you know?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's always, like I said, it's always been the Ravens and Steelers. Oh, Ravens, Ravens, Steelers, Ravens, Steelers. And the Bengals have always been, like, the redhead stepchild of that division.
The foregone conclusion. And you know, this is going to be the year to get it done. I can't overstate it enough. We're just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just as big as Bengals fan as you. I can't wait for it, man. But I want to thank you for calling in, Matt. I want to thank you for calling in, and thank you for being a part of Back Sports Page. I'll talk to you later, buddy, all right?
All right, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, man, later.
Later. Now, I have another caller calling in at this point. So we're taking questions at this point. Hello?
Right?
Hello? Hello, thanks for calling into Rice Way. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Thanks for calling into Rice Way. Who am I speaking with?
All right, what's up, man? This is Max calling.
How you doing, Max?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. So, what questions you got for me?
Well, I got a huge question for you, man.
Okay.
Does Coughlin keep his job if the Giants fail to make the playoffs?
Yes, he does. And the reason why Tom Coughlin keeps his job, it may be sad to say, but New York, when they look for coaches, what I tend to notice is they look for guys that are used to the New York market. They look for guys who are proven coaches, and I'm sorry to say there aren't too many proven coaches out there. And Tom Coughlin – I'm sorry, say that again?
Bill Cowher, what do you think about him?
Bill Cowher was a great – well, you're putting me in a tough predicament because he was a Steelers coach. But Bill Cowher was a very good coach, and are you asking me, do I see him coming out of retirement to coach the Giants?
I mean, a couple years back he said the only team he was coming back for is the New York Giants. So, just wishful thinking. He might make that dream come true.
As great as of a story as that would be, I don't see that happening. I don't see Bill Cowher. I don't see Tom Coughlin being fired, and I don't see Bill Cowher taking over the New York Giants head coaching job. It's tough. It's really tough. I wouldn't go that far. You know, it's that's playing with fire. I don't think a lot of Giants fans realize kind of what Tom Coughlin has done. Now, me, I'm not a Giants fan, nor do I like the Giants. However, there's no arguing with success. And this man has been a success story for the New York Football Giants. And what he's done for this football team, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I don't see the Giants letting him go. But Max, hold on 1 second. My co-host is just calling in right now. I'm gonna get him in on the conversation.
Awesome.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
How we doing, Austin?
I'm good. How are you, Malik?
I'm doing very good. We have a caller on right now, and his question was to me, does Tom Coughlin keep his job as a New York Giants head football coach if they fail to make the playoffs? I want to get your outlook on it. You know, I think he does keep his job. Reason being is because there aren't too many coaches out there that are that proven. And what I've realized that New York tends to look for coaches that are proven, you know, and I just don't see them letting go of a guy who won them 2 Super Bowl rings, although that has been a big topic of discussion, so I kind of want to get your point of view.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, like, you know, living in New Jersey, you hear this every year with Giants fans. Are we going to fire Coughlin? Every single year it's the same story pretty much when he gets off to a rocky start. But, I mean, the truth is that, yeah, he won two Super Bowls, but he's not necessarily considered the same coach as, like, a Bill Belichick or,
yeah,
you know, someone else that is winning, or a Mike McCarthy that's winning 11, 12 games every year. He's a 9-7 coach. That's what his percentages show. And, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's up there in eight. I think he's, like, 69 years old right now. I don't know how many years he has left if he even wants to. I don't even know if he wants to do it. I mean, if I'm looking at this, like, not logistically at all, just saying, like, does this guy deserve his job? I think he does because, in all honesty, I mean, I don't think there's any coach out there in the league right now that could take a team like this and gain their respect and make them a playoff contender the next year, which is what New York fans expect. Any coach could come in and it'll take a couple of years, but I don't know if any other coach in the league right now could come in and just say, we're going to make you guys a 10-win team. You guys are going to make the playoffs and stuff like that. I don't think there's any coach that could do it right now. But I don't know because, you know, age-wise, I don't know what his contract situation is like, but I'll definitely tell you, like, at 70 years old, I wouldn't really want to be coaching anymore, especially if I got to deal with the New York media for half, you know, half the year and listen to pressure.
I believe he said that he wants to stay coaching the New York Football Giants. He believes that they have something good going. He believes that he can bring them another ring. He honestly believes this in his heart. And I think, as messed up as this may be to say, I mean, if the guy believes in himself, the guy's brought you two Super Bowls within four seasons. If the guy believes in himself and he's that strong-willed, I say let him coach on. Let him prove himself because he's proven to himself before. And we all know Tom Coughlin has performed his best. His teams have performed their best under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a toss-up. So, Max, what do you think on – you know, what we said, our outlook. What do you think?
I mean, I think he's become a little bit too soft. I mean, he's changed his approach since 2007, which has, mm-hmm. in a way, helped the team. But in recent years, he hasn't been able to get his message across to his teams. And basically, his front office ain't helping him out too well either. I mean, he hasn't been able to bring in the top talent as far as free agents. And Jerry Reese is not pretty much backing him up. I mean, it's basically Tom Coughlin by himself trying to rally his troops each and every year. And he's kind of lost his way as far as being able to bring his troops together.
Understandable. Well, you know, this is the great part about, you know, the NFL season. We're getting down to the wire here. The Giants still can win their division, as crazy as that is. The Giants can still win their division. Yes. And, you know, so I think this may be a little bit too early because, as everyone can attest to, the NFC North, it's never over until it's over. And right now, the way it looks, the Redskins are at the head of the division. Looks like they're bound. If the playoffs were to begin today, the Redskins will play the Seattle Seahawks, which I don't think any of us see them winning that game. You know, if the playoffs were to begin today, that's what the NFC North would be facing right now. And honestly, I don't think there's any team in the NFC North that is strong enough and that can compete with any team in the NFC right now. That is in the playoffs right now. I don't see any team in the NFC North that I expect them to be how the Bengals usually are, one and done. That's how I expect. I don't see them making it far. Now, do you guys agree?
Oh, I definitely agree.
I mean, I think a team coming out of nowhere in the NFC has to be the Seahawks. I mean, without Marshawn Lynch, and yet they got this core receiver group of Baldwin, Lockett, and Curse, who Russell Wilson's becoming like a passing quarterback all of a sudden. It's fun to watch. Their games are really exciting. And they still have that defense that could compete. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they're a wild card team now. The Panthers are the team to beat, but – don't be surprised. This team's got a lot of history. They've got the experience. They've got a group of veterans. I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks are playing for that NFC Championship.
Yes, I agree. But, Max, I want to thank you for calling in to Wright's Way. And thanks for listening to us. Thanks for taking the time out to engage us in conversation. And we look forward to hearing from you soon, buddy, all right?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate it. At this point, we're going to take another caller, see what's on their mind. So bear with me. Hello.
Hi, hello.
Yes.
Hi, how are you and Austin doing today?
Good.
We're doing good. Who am I speaking with?
Are you speaking with Coyne?
Oh, how you doing, Coyne? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're just talking a little bit of football right here. We were just actually talking about the NFC, but, you know, while we're at it, let's stay in the NFC. I believe you're a Panthers fan, correct?
Yes, I am.
So, I mean, I know you must be sitting high right now on, you know, your horse because the Panthers are 14-0. Who saw the Panthers going 14-0? You say you're the best?
I didn't see it either.
I mean, if you go back to my first show I did, my very first show I did, I wrote them off. I said, this team isn't even a playoff team without Kelvin Benjamin because I didn't believe in your receiving core. And
I think Cam Newton's making these guys look like superstars.
Ted Ginn, like, Austin, what happened to this guy, man? This guy was a bust. He was a draft bust.
I remember as a Jets fan watching this guy, and the only thing this guy was a threat was his kickoff returns. But I mean,
yes, and that was like once or twice throughout the season.
Yeah,
actually, I have a question for you, Malik.
Yes, sir.
What's up with the Bengals?
The Bengals are a football team that. That's hard to answer right now. But I will say this. The Cincinnati Bengals, I love the pressure right now. I love how everyone's not believing in us. I love how everybody's writing us off. And in the words of Aaron Rodgers, relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax, fans. Relax. Because let me tell you something. If you guys don't know who AJ McCarron is, in the words of Humpty Dump, allow me to reintroduce myself, okay? Adrian McCarron won 2 national championships at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, but Alabama quarterbacks have never done good in the NFL.
Alabama quarterbacks have never done well in the NFL until A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron, in my eyes, is one of the most pro-ready quarterbacks to come out of the NFL, to come into the NFL in the past few seasons. Now,
How many games has he played?
This is AJ McCarron's second year. He was a rookie last year, but he came into the NFL on the IR because of a shoulder injury he suffered at the end of college. But before he suffered that injury, the guy was deemed as a first-round pick.
I'm
sorry, say that again?
I said, no, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. He sure was. The guy was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. He was going to be a first-round pick. If he would have came out his junior year in college, the guy would have been a first-round pick. But he didn't.
Who is the Bengals play this week?
The Bengals have a huge, colossal matchup against the Denver Broncos, which I obviously am picking the Bengals. I think the Bengals will win. I'm excited. And I think it's going to be a very intriguing matchup.
I'm looking at AJ McCarron.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said Payne's not playing, so they actually have a chance.
Peyton Manning's not playing.
Yeah.
So Brock Osweiler is playing. So you're taking 2 unexperienced quarterbacks. Now let me tell you what Denver's on the table. What Denver got on the table? If Denver wins, Denver clinches the number 2 seed. However, if Denver loses, Yikes. If Denver loses this football game,
there's a chance Denver does not make the playoffs.
Denver could be knocked out of the playoffs altogether. And it's that detrimental. However, if the Bengals win, the Bengals got the AFC North Championship on the line and a bye week. And let me tell you why the bye week is so detrimental to the Cincinnati Bengals. Reason being is because you give Andy Dalton another week to rest that slightly broken thumb. You give him another week to rest Yes, but we've seen quarterbacks come back from that. We've seen, look, wait, correct me if I'm wrong, Austin. Didn't Brett Favre play with a broken thumb?
I mean, I don't know about that, but there's been quarterbacks throughout the league playing with big injuries, and I mean, I'll tell you, one extra week of rest. I mean, you saw Drew Brees, and he has that foot injury. He has
a torn foot, which is
actually plantar fascia. What he has, like a partially torn one, that's what's holding back Peyton Manning right now.
Exactly.
I mean, and Drew Brees may be playing this week. Imagine
Drew Brees
if he was in a playoff contending
team. He said he's playing.
Yeah. Imagine if he was on a playoff contending team. There would be no doubt he would be playing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you know.
I mean, that is interesting.
It's going to be very interesting the way this all unfolds. I mean, I think I love the way people are writing them off, though. Like, you know, I can't say I'm shocked. This is what I expected. But it remains to be seen what's going to take place. I think the Bengals are going to shock a lot of people, personally. I think they're going to shock a lot of people. And, you know, I think a lot of eyes will be opened up. You know, me personally, I don't think AJ McCarron is a bad quarterback. I've even told people, I mean, sure, Andy Dalton has been in the system, what, for two seasons now? With Hugh Jackson? He's been with the team for, what, this is his fifth season? So he's going to have a better rapport with the guys than AJ McCarron. But I think for a guy who only took four snaps before the Pittsburgh Steelers game, four snaps, and four of those snaps were just ending the ball game, taking a kneel down for Andy when it was a blowout. I think for a guy that dealt with that, I think he came in and played terrific. Now,
we'll see after Monday night.
We will see. We will definitely see. And, you know, this is what I love. I love people coming on and, you know, challenging us and, you know, having difference of opinions. You know, this is what it's about. But, Quinn, I want to thank you for calling in, man. I want to thank you for, you know, giving us a lot to think about here. And, thank you for calling
appreciate
in. And thank you for supporting us, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good day.
All right.
Guys.
You too, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So that you know we have another caller calling in at this point. Let me get to that phone call. Hello.
It's good, Malik.
How we doing, man? Who am I speaking with here?
Malik.
I'm sorry. What?
Malik.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for calling in. You know, right now we were just talking about the playoff picture, AFC. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you're a Vikings fan, right?
Of course.
You guys are shocking a lot of people this season. You know, I'm pretty sure you're not shocked. I'm pretty sure you saw what your team could do. So I believe, you know, I'm pretty sure that this isn't, you know, news to you. I'm pretty sure you saw the growth in your team. So what do you think about your football team?
Possibly it's this. We're looking forward to this game coming up right now. The thing is, we're looking at our quarterback situation. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater played good last week. The thing is, he has to be consistent during the week. Adrian Peterson, like our last game, is at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. We have to play them hard, and we have to get the whole team. That's not Adrian Peterson. We can't just rush Adrian Peterson. We have to play Teddy Bridgewater also. And with our starters, and with certain starters being out, that's going to be hard, but I believe that we're a clinch division.
You said you believe what?
Huh?
You said you believe what?
I believe we clinched the division.
Now, let me tell you this. This is what I've always said. And, Austin, feel free to chime in at any point. I've always felt that the Minnesota Vikings were a very good football team. And I think that their head football coach, Mike Zimmer, who is very, very hungry, he's very, very hungry. The guy's been in the league for almost 19 seasons, and he never got a look as a head coach. Mm-hmm. So he has that chip on his shoulder. This guy is going to – he has that defense rocking. You know, this guy is – he's playing – he has his team – he's a player's coach. He has his team wanting to play for him. And I think the Minnesota Vikings are doing something that they never did before Mike Zimmer took over this team. And that's – they're seizing the moment. You guys are the only consistent challengers to the Green Bay Packers in that division.
That's true.
Right now, at this point.
I'm looking at it.
But what I'm saying is, like, Teddy Bridgewater, 5 touchdowns last week. He had to be consistent. Because going in to Lambeau Field, we know Aaron Rodgers is going to be ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is play defense. Our offense has to be better.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, as a Viking fan, though, you got to accept the fact that, you know, you guys are not a passing team. You guys are I'm looking at your passing yard stats right now. You do not throw the football nearly as much as some teams. So you guys got to rely. We got to rely on Adrian Peterson. And
I think
Bridgewater's got to be a game manager.
Okay, let's see. Remember when Donovan McNabb had what's his name, Terrell Owens?
Mm-hmm.
They used if I'm not mistaken, they used a free action. Am I right? If you notice,
McNabb had Brian Westbrook on the team as well, so he had a good running attack. But yeah, they used shotgun and they used play action a lot.
Okay, yeah. My point is, you don't know if it's going to be a run or a pass because that's what play action open up to. We don't have really that, you know. We don't have Teddy Bridgewater is not consistent. You have to be consistent. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we had, like, somebody, like, let's say, you see how Tom Brady utilized his guys. He utilized all his guys. They have a decent run game, and they have a passing game. Everybody know they have a passing game. So they could get play action off way easier than a lot of other teams.
Now, I'm going to say something, Maurice and Austin, that I don't think anybody has said. I don't think it's a popular decision in the NFL. I don't think a lot of people may not agree with me here, but what is wrong if you have a young quarterback? What is wrong with leaning on a top defense? What's wrong with leaning on your defense? And by what I mean by that is NFL football in general is a game of field position. It's a game of field position. As long as this is what I've learned growing up and being in the world of sports and studying the game.
Mm-hmm.
Every play is a positive play as long as it isn't a negative. Every play. As long as you aren't taking negative yardages, take it as it was a positive. So basically, as long as Teddy Bridgewater, as Austin said, becomes a game manager, because I know that the Vikings were getting frustrated with his lack of big play ability, you know, which he was able to show in college. For some reason, he's not able to translate to the NFL. I think Teddy Bridgewater is doing an okay job. I do think that he does need to be a little bit more reliant on his defense, not to do too much. Be reliant on that back that you have. Because let's be honest, besides Stephon Diggs, none of your receivers are top-tier receivers. Mike Wallace, bust. He's a good offensive playmaker, but a guy that's going to go up there and get it, he's not going to do it. He didn't do it in Miami, and he was a drop. He used to drop the ball every single time it was thrown to him deep in Pittsburgh. He's not a guy that's going to stretch the ball. I mean, stretch the field. He's a guy that's going to stretch the field, but he's not a guy that's going to make those big plays that a Calvin Johnson, that a Julio Jones make. You know what I mean?
Let me cut you off right there. Okay. Now, you say he's not a big shot, but that's the thing. You have to make these guys a field. If you're not really You can't get out the pocket. You can't throw the ball. What are you there for? Not saying, don't get me wrong, he has his game, but he can put through. For some reason, he can't get that long ball. It's been times where he think about, like, run first instead of pass. Like,
yeah.
You can't do that. If you see a couple tapes on Teddy Bridgewater, the first thing his mindset is run. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Like
that comes from not being able, you know, you got to establish the run with a play action team. If you're Teddy Bridgewater and you guys are struggling, you cannot rely on this kid to make big passes, play
Agent,
out of the shotgun,
okay,
because
okay,
every time
okay,
he's Agent faced
Peterson
the third and long.
Adrian Peterson is not the top rusher for no reason, which right there in the beginning of the season and get like a week five, it should have been getting the play action. Already took Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater, it seems like sometimes that he's panicking or he's scared to make a mistake, which it happens.
I agree with you completely. I'm just saying, like, right now I'm looking at the injury report. Adrian Peterson has a sprained ankle. He's supposed to play, right? But look at him right now. They got to beat the Giants this week because the Packers have a really good chance of losing it against Arizona, and that Week 17 matchup could be a matchup for the ages, especially NFC North.
Mhm. Yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying. But I'm saying, like, all he got to do is take his time. He's going to make a mistake. It's like when he sit in the pocket, the first thing he do, he sit there and he run. You can't always run. Teddy Bridgewater, and the week before, he took 5 sacks, which – it's crazy to me as a Viking fan, first of all, because you play action should be utilized. They rarely use play action. They have a different sometimes facing Green Bay, it shows you right there. His first reaction is to run. Clay Matthews was on the whole play.
Agreed. I think his mindset has to change, and honestly, guys, it comes with experience too.
Yeah, that's true.
The more snaps he takes, the more years he gets under his belt, the more comfortable he feels in the system, the better off he'll be. Like, a lot of people have to realize this is the second year. Teddy Bridgewater's second year in the NFL. He's gonna have those mistakes. He's a sophomore. Now by his third year, those should be eliminated. But I don't think there's a cause for concern. I think all young quarterbacks come in the NFL and they struggle. All young quarterbacks come in the NFL, they turn the ball over. You know, even if you post in great numbers, you know, you're gonna make mistakes as well. So, but I think when I see Teddy Bridgewater, I see a guy that's gonna I think when you look at it, Teddy Bridgewater is one of the most, I guess, settled quarterbacks to come out. Now he's gonna struggle, guys. We know this, and I think it's just going to come when he'll progress as a quarterback in the NFL. He'll adjust to the way how it all works, and he won't have that run first mindset. And I think that I think he'll get over that this off season, if not before then. So I don't think there's a cause for concern. He's still making enough plays. He's still making enough plays to put you guys, you know, in a position to win that division. So there shouldn't be any cause for concern. But Maurice, I wanna thank you for calling into the show today. I wanna thank you for, you know, being a supporter of Rights Away. Austin and I greatly appreciate it. And
thank
you.
We
look forward to hearing from you soon, man. All right. Thank you, man. At this point, I want to basically let you guys know that you guys can reach me at my email, therealmalikwright@gmail.com. You can even message me on Facebook, you know, Malik Wright, that's my name on Facebook. And, you can reach out to me with any questions, any concerns, anything you kind of want to pick my brain, you know. You can reach out to me and let me know. Austin, you want to tell them your information?
Yeah, absolutely. You could reach me, same thing. Malik posted a Facebook status. You could check out that link. The link to my profile, Austin Mayo, M-E-O is the last name. You could also reach me via email if you want to at austin.mayo@gmail.com. Happy to hear from you guys. Love to love talking sports whenever I can. Any team, too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But at this point of the show, Austin, I want to shift into – I want to ask first before I get into the, you know, the new discussion, I want to ask you your predictions for the AFC and NFC playoff picture. Well, just a quick,
absolutely.
quick little prediction. Who do you see ultimately taking what seed? Because as the way it stands right now, the Patriots are the number one seed. The Bengals are the number two seed in AFC. Steelers are the sixth seed. Broncos, third seed. Chiefs, fifth. Texans, fourth. Do you expect it to stay that way?
Here's what I'm going to say. As a Jets fan, I'm going to the Patriots game this Sunday. I want to see them win, and I want to see them control their own destiny. But if you're looking at it, if the Jets do not win this game, they're not making the playoffs. It's unlikely. The Steelers, they have an easy schedule. They get to play the Ravens and the Browns. So they're on the road, but nonetheless, both times they're going to get to play two easy matchups. So you should expect them to go 2-0. And same thing for the Chiefs. The Chiefs get to play the Browns and then the Raiders, both of those games at home. So, I mean, things aren't looking too good for the Jets. I don't see the Steelers and Chiefs, both great examples of teams that have overcome a bit of adversity, losing their running backs. A bit of a victim myself, having both those running backs on my fantasy teams, but we'll ignore that. But my point, and I've been a big Jamal Charles fan my entire life. Always liked how he played the game. Very versatile, could catch passes and still run the ball. And definitely this year, being able to run inside the tackles when he has. But I don't see the Chiefs and Steelers going that far. I would love to see Big Ben and Antonio Brown, maybe in a really good playoff matchup. You know, there's a chance they could even have a rematch of that Tim Tebow game with the Broncos from a couple years ago. That would be exciting. But
so
I don't
see
either of those teams making.
Do you see the NFC playoff picture staying the same? Well, we got the Panthers number one seed, Cardinals number two, Packers number three, Redskins number four, Seahawks number five, and Vikings number six.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I really want to see how the Vikings come out and play this week. If they can beat the Giants and go in and you know, primetime football and beat the Giants, I will be really interested to watch that week 17 game, assuming if the Packers lose and the Vikings win, that'll be a hell of a matchup. I really like the Arizona Cardinals. I really am interested to see their running back dynamic right now with David Johnson. They have a resurgent Carson Palmer, and they have a great defense across the board. But they did lose Tyrann Mathieu for the year. So that's going to be interesting to see them. I think no one's really pointing that out, but I remember seeing that injury at the end of the game, and I remember looking over at my dad. I'm like, if they lose him, don't expect them to go far in the playoffs. And honestly, that defense, you're losing a big-time player with Tyrann Mathieu. So I see the Panthers going far, but I'm telling you, like I said earlier, don't be surprised with the Seattle Seahawks. They don't have a running back, but that doesn't mean Russell Wilson can just won't give up on this team. He can throw the ball, and I think this year we're going to see Russell Wilson as one of those elite quarterback discussions where he starts throwing the ball a little bit more. And I know it's far fetched, but I think that's my bold prediction that Russell Wilson goes far with this team, and we may be seeing a Seattle Seahawks Carolina Panthers NFC Championship game if the seeds work out.
I'm not going to argue that. I disagree with the Tyrann Mathieu injury. I still think that team will band together, but that remains to be seen. But at this point, I want to kind of switch over into a new segment here on Right's Way. It's called What's Going On. And first, what's going on? I got a quick question. You know, Austin, you feel free to answer these. You know, I'm gonna dish them out, and I want you to answer them. Just a quick take, get your opinion on it. All right. So for the first, what's going on? Indianapolis Colts, your season is basically over. What's going on?
That's a great question. You gonna go through all of them, or you want me to answer them bit by bit?
I want you to answer that one.
Well, I mean, a lot of things going on with that team, but I think one thing that the Indianapolis Colts need is a running back. They need somebody. That team has never had a running back. Even when Peyton Manning was there, they have never had a running back that could help.
Edgerrin James.
Yeah, but, I mean, and they had a Joseph Addai who could, you know, hold his ground. But I'll tell you, if the Indianapolis Colts could get lucky in a draft like the Rams did with Todd Gurley and get a star-studded running back, I'd be very excited to see that team. And, I mean, Andrew Luck I still think is a great quarterback. And, you know, we'll see what that defense. But
all right, the next one, OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. I'm sorry. You are easily one of the best receivers in the league, one of the most talented receivers to grace the NFL in the past 20 years. You're the one-hand genius, and you let the Dab Master and company come into your building and get under your skin. And basically, let's be honest, you hurt your team. Sure, I've heard some people say crazy stuff that you got locked up. Not what I'm looking at. You had 6 receptions, 76 yards. You were averaging 12 yards per game for the game, and you had 1 touchdown. But you let this guy, Josh Norman, who has been irrelevant since, you know, I've had people even come up to me and ask me, oh, I thought Josh Norman was a rookie. I said, no, this guy's been in the league for a few years. But you let this guy, Josh Norman, come in here and basically get under your skin. You cost your team this game with foolish penalties. And now, let's be honest, you probably just hurt the Giants' season by getting yourself suspended. What do you think, Austin? What's going on, OBJ?
I mean, watching that game, he made that game about himself and not about his team. And that's disappointing because that's not what Tom Coughlin leads that Giant team to be. I'm disappointed in the kid, but you know what? I think if I'm a Giants fan looking at this, this is good. This is a good thing because it's going to teach him. He's going to come back better than this. He's not going to be that selfish kid anymore. He's going to be a teammate. He's going to come back week 17 with a vengeance. He may not have a chance at the playoffs anymore, but this is definitely going to stay with him. And I think ultimately he has some growing up to do, but this one-game suspension is definitely going to keep this on his mind, and I wouldn't be surprised if he benefits from this.
I sure hope so. You know, we're running short on time, ladies and gentlemen, but got 2 more what's going on. Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on, man? Philadelphia Eagles, what in the world is going on?
I have a whole segment for the Eagles. We don't have time, but my main point there is that Chip Kelly has the wrong man at quarterback right there. He has the wrong backup quarterback. And all I'm going to say is that because he's leading their front office operations in terms of player personnel, he wanted to make a big splash this offseason and get Sam Bradford, but he is not the quarterback that should be leading the Philadelphia Eagles.
And last but not least, New York Football Jets. You're having one of the best seasons that we've seen you have. And you were the 6th seed until this week. Even in a winning fashion, what's going on? But that doesn't really need to be answered because it's the NFL's fault. This is ridiculous. The Jets have fought so hard. They should be in this predicament. They should be in the playoffs right now. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're running short on time. But, you know, we want to thank you all for joining in on the discussion today. You know, talking sports with us. It's been a great show. You can catch us on every Thursday night at around 8 p.m. You can catch us here on Blog Talk Radio and join the discussion. And me and my co-host, Austin, and, you know, on behalf of from my family to yours, from my Back Sports Page family to yours, we want to wish you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. Anything else, Austin, you want to add?
Just reiterate, Happy Holidays, everyone. Thanks for having me. I look forward to doing these a lot more for the future. And Happy Holidays to you, Malik. Thanks for bringing me on board this year.
No problem.